right, here we go. It's the Real Kipper and Bourne Show in its truest form as we welcome back into our program.
Welcome back.
The one, the only, Justin Bourne off a much-needed rest from Sammy and I.
Nothing more restful than sharing a bed with an 8-year-old.
It's at Disney.
At Disney, yeah. No, feeling great. Honestly, it was really, really nice, but glad to be back.
Well, terrific timing by you. You let Gord Stella come in here with all the grunt work of nothing going on, really. And then you come in with 3.5 days to go to the trade deadline, and you pick up on all the juicy storylines.
Trade deadline, baby. I will say this sincerely. Very excited to come back. Like, missed you guys. I know the Leafs played like 3 or 4 times while I was gone. So yeah, let's trade for people.
Alongside Sammy McKee, Derek Brandeo, Jake Schultz, I'm Nick Kyprios. This is the Leaf Hour edition of our program. We are live on Sportsnet 590, The Fan, Sportsnet 360, and Sportsnet Plus. All right, Sammy, jump in.
Yeah. Really happy to have you back, Borny.
Also, I should say thanks to, well, you guys are picking up the slack, yeah, but thanks to Gord Stellick for stepping in.
I'm surprised you're not wearing your customary paper bag after spending a week paying for everything in USD.
That's fine.
I'm sure the dollar with today's news is just going to be great. Keep improving.
Everyone's portfolio is looking great these days. Yeah. Tough time to go away.
Everyone's just, things are going great, boys. Really glad we get to come in here and talk about hockey as the world burns, but it's great. So great. Everything's great.
When you were at Disney and they said, hey, nice to meet you, where you're from, you were like, I got to go.
Yeah. You know, honestly, it tends times a little bit, but everyone down there, it's all, you know, bubblegum and rainbows and all that. So didn't think about politics till I got home.
Well,
any hockey thoughts down there? Any people just dying to give you some Florida Panthers or Tampa Bay Lightning
takes?
I
swear to God, I sat down on a shuttle bus to go to Disney the first day. So the guy sits beside me. He sees a maple leaf on my bag. He's from Vegas, huge Golden Knights fan. Name is Shannon. He's going to come up here to Toronto. He wants to meet everyone.
So there you go.
Immediately into hockey. So
okay, so but no Florida fans.
No, none of that.
So what was the term you used? Bubblegum and what?
Rainbows.
And rainbows.
Yeah.
Okay, and we probably thought it was bubblegum and rainbows with a Leafs winning streak.
Honestly, every time I check my phone, they win another game. I was like, God, I'm missing all the fun. But then I got here and Sammy's like, they weren't that good.
And more bubblegum and rainbows last night with a 2-0 lead, Sammy. And then it went from bubblegum and rainbows to what exactly?
Poo.
Oh, God, that's a little strong.
It went to crap. I don't know what to say.
I did get to watch all of that last night, and boy, that I hope the games while I was gone were more, I don't know, complete than that one last night.
I got to tell you, you missed, you would have seen the Carolina game.
Yep.
And then you left, you would have seen the Chicago game.
Yep.
And then you left, they played the Tuesday against the Bruins, which was an excellent comeback.
And then I missed Rangers and Pittsburgh.
Rangers, they weren't very good. And the Penguins game, they weren't very good. The goaltending wasn't great. Like, I didn't think either of those games, they were very good.
I tried my best last week
to
say the positive because I was thinking of you, right?
Oh, yeah.
Come on, Kipper. More positive. I heard that little JB voice over my shoulder. But there was a part of me that said there's parts of every game that they've won that I didn't really like. But it's okay because they find a way to win.
Yeah.
And that seems to be the narrative. And then it's almost as if all of it caught up to them last night.
Yeah. I told Sammy I was going to mention this to you because I did go back and I watched the games, like the 10-minute condensed versions I watched last night. I watched Austin Matthews lose Ricard Raquel against Pittsburgh in a gross goal. I watched him lose Zibanejad against the Rangers. And I got to ask you, is our boy okay? I mean, he's looking.
It is a ongoing topic of discussion. We tapped on it a little bit between Gord and Sammy, and I think there's whether it's huge Austin Matthew fans or still ones that are a little bit more critical and nitpicky like me, but we all agree that we're not seeing what we've been accustomed to the majority of his career.
Yeah. I mean, reading all the different things about the trade deadline and what the Leafs need to do. You know, I saw someone saying that the Leafs need to get Tommy Novak or something like that.
Tommy.
You know, and it's like, if Austin Matthews and the big guys don't score, if they're not the best versions of themselves, it doesn't matter.
Yeah.
This whole thing doesn't work. So I would say that it's getting concerning that playoffs start in 5 weeks and he's on pace for a 33-goal season in 68 games. That's like a piece of this that has to come together. Yeah. He just looks
lethargic.
That's the perfect word.
I'm leaning towards, and we've picked this apart all season long, and there's ample reason to have always suggested or looked at physically, is he okay based on the amount of time that he missed earlier on the season, and that was a legit thing. But right now, I'm really leaning towards what's going on between the ears, and is there a sense of him hitting a brick wall? Is there a little bit of a burnout here? Is he just sick of hockey right now a little bit? And it does happen.
Yeah.
I'm telling you.
Oh, yeah.
I've played with guys, really high-end guys, where it's like...
I've also been a low-end guy.
It's not fun to come to the rink right now.
No.
So is that what we're seeing right now out of him?
Yeah, maybe. You know, I kind of forget, like, the year he scored 40, did we all just went? We all went away and we're like, his wrist was a little off. You know, we kind of chalked it up to injury, why he didn't look like his...
Is that 22, 23?
So it was, it was 40, then 69, then whatever this season's going to be. So it was before that. But, like, he looks like that to me. And we never really got an answer, a solid answer as to why. I understand early in the season there was some, we think back, he went to Germany, worked on whatever. But he's been playing in the lineup, like, every game. We saw him in OT for the Americans. He doesn't look like that.
He's had moments.
He's had moments.
Where he's looked normal, like, we know him normal.
Right. And I will say, the thing that my friends say when we talk about it, it's just like, is he going to bed? Is he getting enough sleep? He looks tired. Like, I don't mean he looks slow out there. I mean, he looks physically tired. He just looks tired. Like, him going on the backside of Raquel instead of getting to the front side. The Dallas one instead of...
10 seconds into the period, by the way. It wasn't like at the end of a shift. Right. It's like he didn't want to engage. He didn't want to get underneath them. He was just like, I can lift his stick, that's what happened.
Even the forecheck, when he's going in, with when he used to go in and fight for a 50-50 puck, in his at his height, it was really like a 70-30 or an 80-20. Now it's a legit 50-50.
He was first in forecheck chances by SportLogic the last couple years. He hasn't been first last time I checked. I can check recently.
No.
First in forecheck chances, usually, yeah.
We see it. We see it. And then often he's guessing on which side to go to. And often he's on the wrong side.
Well, because he's picking the puck side, not the body side. He's trying to pick pockets and go the other way, which is not something he had been doing.
But
so, I mean, can I ask that when the stakes got turned up a bit?
Sorry, he's sixth in the NHL in forecheck chances. But
I mean, that's not first.
Yeah.
And sixth is still pretty good. We talked about the Four Nations and how you talked about potentially a wall, you know, not coming to the rink. It's not like they're losing, though. So that theory, it's not like they've won. What have they won? They went five in a row going in this.
But he's just not leading.
For sure.
He's not leading the charge.
But you watch him in the Four Nations, and you watch that final game where the stakes are elevated, and it's like it's a meaningful game. It's not February or March 4th against the worst team in the NHL.
Yeah.
You see him have flashes of looking like his...
So is that the hope that in the playoffs he finds it?
That's where, like, that's what I'm thinking.
That's all Leaf fans have.
100%.
You're right.
That's it, is that... And I've seen it, I've lived it, where a teammate, a star player on your team can feel like nothing went right for a regular season, but then there's that fresh start, that feeling like everybody's at zeros and everybody's got a clean slate, and the next thing you know, this guy's got 3 goals in 4 games.
Yeah.
And all can be forgotten. Then that's the hope. That's all... any Leaf fan has left moving forward here.
Hope has always worked out great for Leaf fans.
It'd be nice if he went on a little bit of a heater here. I'm not sure anybody can really see it coming with how many games left? 20?
Roughly? Yeah, roughly. You know, looking at his game log, you go back to...
A 10-point game point streak, by the way.
10, yeah, he does have a 10-year yet. But he's also, he has, going back to January 25th, he's played, whatever, 10, 12 games. He's one goal.
Yeah.
You know, that's not Matthews. Like, I know you wanted him to be more of a disher, but you didn't want him to never score.
Yeah.
I know he scored against him.
The one thing that, again, is pushing me to lean towards it's more of a mental thing than a physical thing is the fact that he played on a back-to-back night last night, 25 minutes. If Craig Berube thinks like there's anything
right
physically wrong with this guy, you don't come back home from an afternoon game in Pittsburgh to play your number one centerman 25 minutes.
Against San Jose.
Against one of the worst road teams ever.
Yeah. I like the quote in Luke Fox's article when he was talking about their record in February, and he said they're 0 for February. That's what they are.
Can I – so this is something that I don't necessarily believe, but it's been DM'd to me a lot. It's in my mentions a lot. It's talked about. We had Doug McClain on, I don't know how long ago, at the start of the year, with the 100-pound C on the chest. And you're searching for reasons. You're talking about how it being a mental stuff. Like, is there anything to it? Because it keeps getting brought up to me by fans, by people. I get DMs. I get messages about it. Like,
it does feel like searching to me.
I know, but...
just because 2 years ago, he was the exact same player he is right now when he scored 40. But
I don't see weight of the sea on his shoulders.
Okay.
He hasn't acted differently. He hasn't... it hasn't...
which appeared. Could be taken as a criticism, by the way, if you wanted it to.
Yeah. Whatever the case, yeah, you could see it so many different ways. Yeah. You can also see, I can also tell you that I don't want to see a guy pretending to be something that he's not.
That's true, too. You don't want him to suddenly try to be Herb Brooks every time he talks in the dressing room.
We can see it in so many different ways.
Yeah.
If I did see a guy trying so many different ways to lead, then I'd be more inclined to say, yes, he's trying something differently to warrant the change, right? But it's not. He's still the same guy. He plays the same way. He's not more vocal in the media. He's not stepping up in post-game comments and saying a lot more meaningful things. He's just the same guy.
Yeah, and... yeah, let's hope that other gear's there. Six shots last night, six shots the game before. Maybe it's just expectations are so high, but he's not. We know there's more from him, so hopefully he finds it at some point.
Last year, Matthews is scoring a hat trick against the worst road team in the history of the league.
It certainly felt like.
You know, like if we're at the point last year, right now, where we're talking about the 70-goal pursuit, and how, like, that would have been a one on the ledger where he added two or three.
But
right,
he had 50 and 50 at one point.
Against Gorgiev, it's just, you know, he's just not the same. So hopefully it's just...
we know it's in there.
Hopefully that flip just switches when April 16th or 17th arrives.
Okay, let's get back on track with a few.
Right, the Sharks.
Kipper Clippers.
Okay,
let's go to head coach.
These are as mad and sad as I've heard Berube all year, just as a heads up.
Really?
Yeah, so let's play clip one and we'll go from there.
I thought that turned the puck over a little bit in the third period. One ended up in the back of our net. Need to do a better job checking in the third period, I guess. Just not turn the puck over as much as we did.
I
don't
Insightful.
Want to, my first thought when they blew that lead last night is this is a classic overthink Leaf fan move, but you know, you look back over the season and they've been a good against bad teams and they really haven't had those struggles that they had in years past against bad teams. They're going to lose the division by 1 point.
So pessimistic.
They're going to lose the division by one. They're going to lose the division by 1 point and we're going to go back and they blew a 2-0 lead to the San Jose Sharks.
Just stay on Berube for a second.
I can't.
Would you calm down?
Just saying.
Would you calm down?
Sam, they're 7-0 in overtime. They've got all the extra points they can get.
Stay on Berube for a second.
Okay.
Because I've liked Craig. I've liked the fact that in so many ways, and we've all believed this, that they have a style that can take them further than something that we haven't seen in 10 tries already. I don't know, 8. I don't know how many playoff rounds.
Just round up. Sounds 10, right. Basically.
But I don't really like those comments I just heard.
Really?
Yeah, it's like, I guess. I mean,
you'd like it a little more forceful.
Yes, yeah. I do.
Have we had a game where he's come out and been like,
he has not shot the gun. He has not.
We talked about Keith and bullets. This guy might not have any.
I have no knowledge of what is being said behind the scenes. Mm-hmm. But if it's remotely like I just heard, I wish you would come down on him every once in a while a lot harder.
Yeah. And say, that's a joke. We're playing a bad team at home, 2-goal lead. What are we doing?
Something harder than that.
How about clip two? See if you like the improvement of his tone in clip two. Number two, please, Eric.
Well, it's disappointing. Any loss is disappointing. A 2-0 lead, you know, we're in a good spot to close it out, and we didn't do the job. And then we had a chance in OT with the power play and couldn't get one.
Yeah, that's more what Kip's talking about, right? When you're like, yeah, we should have shot it in the net.
But even, like, I don't care about overtime, and I don't care if you found a way to win those and get those 2 points. It's still bad, okay? And that, to me, it's not about finding a way to beat non-playoff teams to win. It's about, this won't work when we need it most against teams that are playoff ready.
Yeah.
It won't work, guys. I don't care how many points we get. It's not going to work.
People got sick of hearing Sheldon Keefe talk about process. But at this point, the Leafs started the first 20-game chunk of Berube's tenure as one of the best teams at denying high-danger chances. They didn't give them up. Over the last 40 games since then, they're bottom third of the league. They're like 22nd in the league in high-danger chances again. To me, it's like, that's great they won 5 in a row. At some point, you got to look at the process and saying, I don't care that we're getting the points. We can't be giving up bottom third amount of chances in the NHL. And that, to me, is where we haven't heard him be mad enough that it's like, great, we won, but I'm upset at this, rather than, oh, we could have got the points.
I hope he's giving it to him behind the scenes and saying, I don't need to do it in front of anybody in the media. I don't have to. I'll just deal with it myself.
I mean, you have to imagine he is.
I don't know.
Right?
Then but don't overly pretend in the media either. Just kind of find a way to just let your fan base know that they're not fooling me here. Mm-hmm. Okay? That's all.
You know, it does, like, when you talk to someone who doesn't follow super closely and they tell you, see, the Leafs have won 5 in a row, and they go, they're on fire, and you watch them enough to know that's not actually true. They're kind of squeaking by points or whatever, but you don't want to step on it. That feels like Berube right now. You know, you don't want to ruin his fun, but, like, you are noticing it's been bad, right?
You're seeing what we're seeing?
We just need to know you're seeing this.
The Toffoli goal on the wraparound from...
Was that with Jarden Kroc as a backpack?
You're Connor Dewar. Like, you're not scoring.
Yeah.
Your sole job is to not turn the puck over at the blue line.
Yeah.
That's it.
You're the simple line.
Get the puck in deep.
You can't have that happen. We lose a 7-game series on that play. Okay? And I can't have you turn the puck over.
Yeah, we do have a clip on Jarden Kroc. Oh, we got the clip here. Yeah, exactly what you're talking about. Like that, that's your get it in deep spot right there. Now, Jarden Kroc coming back to the middle of the ice. Look for a body. I know he's out of touch, right? He only played 8.5 minutes last night, but.
But.
Ugly. That fourth line can't give up a goal.
No.
It's okay to let people know that will cost us a 7-game series. That sort of stuff is what we have to clean up. That's the sort of stuff we've seen consistently. But they're finding ways to win off of non-playoff teams.
Mm-hmm.
But now the Tampa Bays and the Florida Panthers will eat you up for lunch
So you're going to Vegas tomorrow night. Then you're in Colorado on Saturday night. Then you have... The hockey club on Monday, who's
Utah?
They're fighting for their playoff.
No, they're doing stuff though.
They're plucky.
Yeah,
and then you go to Florida.
Yeah,
so
they got to come together real quick.
Home for Florida, maybe they're back home for Florida. I think maybe
they've got to come together real quick. And the other thing I did not like about last night.
Can I guess?
Go.
Why is Mitch Marner playing 27 minutes in a Monday night?
It's an extension of that.
What the hell has happened?
What it is I saw Team A and Team B last night. Mm. And that included sucking up almost 2 minutes of every power play.
I heard that when I was gone in against Boston, they didn't have those guys on the ice to tie the game up in the final minute.
Correct.
Which is, I was like, I'm sorry, Holmberg after scored to tie the game?
But they were out there for a minute and a half, 2 minutes. They were sucking air beyond belief. Okay. I don't think it was
It wasn't like let's give someone else a chance. No, it was like these guys physically can't do it.
Marner said he was breathing through his eyelids. So
yeah, okay. That checks out.
So last night, like, it's okay if you want to lean on certain guys, but I don't know what Max Domi played, 12 minutes, 13 minutes. It's like,
it could be 15 they'd be okay.
27 and a half,
yeah.
25 for Matthews, almost 23 or 24 for Matthew Nyes. I like Matthew Nyes,
yeah,
but like 23, 24 minutes for him
in game 60 against San Jose, a lot.
And then Willie and Tavares still like 20.
Yeah, they
two
had
minutes.
Four forwards that played more than their top D.
I understand those. If you're playing in like, for example, OEL, like next week when you're got Florida in town, it's a tight game. It's a division race. You feel like you can only ride your top guys. It's Team A, Team B. I feel like you're a little bit more willing, but like Connor Dewar can't survive three more minutes against the Sharks. Like, you know, you weren't even chasing the game. You were up.
To that point, if you can't play those guys more, you need to change the guys.
Correct.
They should be able to handle those minutes. However,
and there's a certain deadline in a few days that
I actually do think those guys can handle those minutes. Fine. Like, yeah, it was a crappy play, whatever, but like they're okay.
Listen, I watched period and a half, 2 periods. I liked their game last night.
Yeah.
Up to nothing. Better than I've liked them in a week and a half.
The bottom line. Or the,
no, the whole team in general. Okay. I did.
Let's play clip three.
There was parts of the game where I'm going, they got good energy. San Jose can't get a sniff.
Robertson and Holmberg, pretty good.
I think Roberts had two back checks, three back checks this week that I'm going, hey, way to go, kid.
Yeah.
Way to go.
Yeah.
Play clip three, Berube, Derek.
I liked a lot of our game. Second period was really good and took the game over. Power play was good. Got us a couple goals. Nitpicking anything. Well, it's not nitpicking. Missing that too much tonight. We had a lot of opportunities. We missed the net.
So I thought the second period they were as dominant as they've looked against any team.
I was okay. And then what happened? They hit a brick wall. They just
How can they be tired?
They just came. 90% of the team just came off vacation.
It's not that, Kipper. It's something with this team that, regardless of coach, regardless of who's around it, regardless of who's running it, when they have a little bit of an opportunity to let the foot off the gas because you think it's going to be easy, they'll do it.
You know that I agree with you on that. That's been a consistent criticism of mine, but I can't deny the fact that they have been, they're 27-0 going into the third year of the lead. They have held on to leads.
It's amazing.
I know.
That their first blown lead is to the worst team in the league.
And 7-0 in overtime helps.
As brutal as that third period was for them, Stolar still came within a whisker of getting them 2 points.
You guys noticed this? He's a pretty good goalie.
Yeah. First, the one was a stinker last night, the one where he got caught on the post, the one that we just showed there.
Mm-hmm.
Overcommit, kind of. But, I mean, like, I think, is that his first really bad one all year? I can't really even think of other ones.
They were still right there, there to take 2 points.
Last night, do you put any stock in the amount of attempts that missed it? They had 78 shot attempts last night and 27 hit the net. Like, is that just not taking the extra stride to get open?
It's
like,
bad.
Like, they get shots blocked, really bad. Wide. They just,
how many attempts?
77, 78.
And how many on?
27, 28.
Yeah, that's crazy.
Like 50 less?
That's crazy.
My math right there.
Is there anything on stats that can tell us where that would fit in? Like I wonder what an what would Tampa or Florida's attempts last night compare to how many times they hit the net?
I wonder if on the year,
are they trying to shoot it 80 times, 90 times?
All right, I'm looking at that. Let's do some.
I'm curious on
shots
that.
Landed on net percentage. Wow. Look into that.
Okay.
Macklin Celebrini.
Yeah, he's good.
Yeah. Maybe it, you know, as we're entering into best on best time here, he's going to be a player.
Yeah.
He, you know, he reminded me a little bit. He does have a bit of the Matthews quick twitch defensive stuff and like along the boards where he can lift sticks and like good reads. And he's like that play he made.
He wins pucks like crazy.
The play he made on Domi in overtime where he set up Will Smith in front and stole it. He just put his hip into him, lifted the stick, one motion out in front of the net. Like, I'm sure like the slot pass percentage, I'm sure the fancy stuff. Like, he was just putting pucks in the sweet spot the whole night. I love watching him play.
You know, I'd rather be San Jose than Chicago.
For sure.
In terms of the rebuild and the direction they're headed.
Absolutely. They came in with an 8-game skid, did they not?
They did.
And there's a real big part of me last year last night that said, good for them. Mm-hmm. They hung in there. It wasn't a pretty at times, but because they couldn't get to the net and they don't have that many guys that have the ability outside of their young talent you just mentioned, they still hung in there.
Mm-hmm.
And they deserved 2 points out of that game last night. And the Leafs didn't deserve 2 points. And that's how it should usually work on most nights. The team that ends up winning deserves it more than the team that you just faced.
I'll give Sam some credit for one thing here. This is the, I think last night was the Ontario tax. Like, I think if they're down 2-0 to Florida, no one's watching, whatever, they might just go away. This is one where it's like everyone's at home. The fans are, you know, it's full of their parents. They don't want to get embarrassed. They keep pushing. I think they got a good push from the hometown boys. Who was it who scored the first goal?
Jack Thompson from Curtis, Ontario.
Yeah, a kid I'd never heard of. They're like, Ontario boy, you know, makes good. I'm like, yeah, of course he does.
Yeah, Toffoli.
Yeah.
In many ways, nobody's paid attention to them all year. They come to the biggest market in the world, the biggest hockey market, the most attention. Of course.
They don't just go away.
It's their one time to make a name for themselves.
Yeah.
Isn't Toffoli, like, isn't he Scarborough guy? Like, I didn't even think of that.
Yeah.
It was the Scarborough and Curtis Ontario show.
It's not the setting where you're going to get a team go, I guess we don't have it tonight.
Yeah, it's sort of one chance.
Playing.
And I thought they came out hot, too. The only bad period really was the second. So, yeah.
Not enough Yarncroc to get any sort of opinion, right?
Mm. He's going to be the same guy.
Yeah.
Right? He's going to compete hard, skate a million miles.
Likely a slightly worse version of the same guy, another year older, missed a year of hockey.
It's way too early to say.
Yeah. Is it?
I think he could be a depth guy, but.
For who?
Kenny?
Okay, I'm trying to be positive.
Well, it is trade deadline week, and having this guy back in his 2-point-whatever-million salary.
Yeah.
I don't think it's that big of a deal, the cap.
No?
Well, if they add some salary like Shen, they'll just find a way to alleviate through sending guys down.
Think so? Yeah.
Yeah.
Reeves probably.
Reeves. Doers at almost 1.2.
1.15 is the most you get. So you basically make those guys disappear.
$2.5 million right there.
Yeah. And you do remember last year, like at the playoffs, like they went down to 20 guys at some point, right?
Yeah.
Like just to make sure you're under the cap.
So
that's true.
Not that big of a deal.
We saw a double retention today for Trent Frederick.
Oh, yes.
He'd have been nice for the Leafs.
Yeah. So
I have a few fake trades that I cooked up because we're getting into that season. And people used to like that. I don't know if people still like that kind of thing.
But people love that.
I will say, like, you talking about waving guys or whatever to free up some cap space. You know, you go through, I think we talked about this a little bit last year, but it's worth revisiting before we go to break. The Toronto Maple Leafs cap page is not an easy one to trade from.
No.
It's just, you know, you have, as everyone knows, four guys making the most amount of money that none of them are going anywhere. And then the guys underneath that don't make enough to, like, make up a big salary unless you trade three or four of them out, which then you have no depth. It's a very complicated puzzle for Treliving to figure out with the Leafs cap page. It really is.
I give Tree some credit. He recently said this week, you know, you have to separate fact from fiction about who's available and what you can do. You know, there's not – everyone likes to go, yeah, you need like a big top pair right D. And it's like you go through the list and it's like, well, there's Parayko and no one else. So,
I mean, everybody – I think – I forget who it was who we had on last week that was joking about this, that everyone's got the same wish list. Mm-hmm. Like, oh, they're looking for a depth center and a really good top four D-man that shoots right. It's like everyone wants the same thing, so we'll see. But I cooked up a few. I think I got 6 or 7 fake ones. So if you guys want to go through that when we come back.
We absolutely do, and then we'll also maybe dive in a little deeper. Braden Schenn, is it still possible? Probability on it. If not, where do the Leafs go next?
Did you guys talk about that on the regional that I missed, the Rangers one? I saw something on Twitter that you guys had chats about that. Is that right?
Buddy, I don't know what I had for breakfast
Matthew
today.
Matthew Nyes or something? Is that what I saw? Okay. It is like
yes.
Yeah,
we did. Okay. We did talk about whether or not how big of a swing that the Leafs want to make. If, in fact, Rantanen is out there, where are the Leafs? We'll get into that after the break, and then obviously in the National Hour as well, where we will welcome in Steve Valiquette, analyst for the Rangers, CEO Clearsight Analytics. He's got plenty on that, including Spencer Knight in Chicago. Had a pretty good night last night. We'll get his thoughts on the big trade as well. So do not go away. And we come back after these words.
The best Blue Jays show out there, period. Blair and Barker. Be sure to subscribe and download the show on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Kiprios, Justin Bourne, Sammy McKee. It's the Real Kipper and Bourne Show, Leaf Hour Edition. So, it really sounded going into this week that there might have been a focus on Braden Schenn. Mm. Where are you, JB, on how aggressive should the Leafs be?
So the overall question of how aggressive they should be, I think, vary. But I don't think Schenn is a great player and all that. But I think the cost for Schenn to have a declining asset in multiple years, he's not... I don't want that for the Leafs. I feel like if you could just have him, of course you'd love to have him, but it's going to cost a lot, and the contract's a risk to me. Are you a big believer in the...
I think that's... I think those are excellent points, and I got to think that that sort of thing's weighing on Brad Treliving and Brendan Shanahan, and maybe not so much Craig Berube, who... Mm-hmm. Raved about him. Were you here or did you leave?
No, I didn't hear.
Oh my god.
Two oh my gods from him.
Yeah.
Hold on. I'll try to find that clip quick.
Try to find it. But because I don't think we ever played it. Did we play it? Okay.
But like,
yeah, JB was not here for it.
But like behind the scenes, I remember. So I was in the Leafs coaching office when they had DJ Smith was an assistant coach, and Lou Lamoriello walks by the room, and DJ goes, Lou, you know, stops him. Yeah, you got to get me Roman Polak. You got to get me Polak. He's like, we have no one who can kill a penalty. You got to get me this guy. If you're a coach, you don't care about the assets, the contract. You're just like, bring me a guy I want who does a thing I need.
We had the clip.
Oh, perfect. Let's play it.
Yeah, I congratulate him today. You know, I love that player. I love the guy. You know, he's a superhuman being. And, you know, 1,000 games, a lot of games in the league. He's a dedicated player. I always say that. Guys that can play that long are dedicated to the game. They do all the right things throughout the summer, game in and game out, preparing. And he's a very prepared player, you know, and looks after his body and looks after himself and loves the game. He's a hockey nerd. He just loves the game. And so it was great. Great to see him get 1,000 games, and very happy.
And he's handsome.
And he walked my dog. Yeah. And he just, you know, he takes
I love that player.
Great singing
okay,
voice.
I'm not one to know the exact rules or how they are written up on
tampering.
Tampering. I don't know.
Hell, but with the smoke, there's fire.
It could be just one sentence saying that you're not allowed to talk about other players who are under contract.
Don't read clubs. Into anything like that.
It could be that.
Well, but that
it could
be right.
That simple. Yeah. I don't know, but you don't hear that. I'm telling you right now, we've been in the business a long time. You don't really hear a coach or a general manager talk about another team's player under contract quite like that.
Unless it's like McDavid, you know.
I love that player. I know it's based off of 1,000 games.
Yeah.
And I think it could hide behind 1,000 games.
You're right. That's going to be the, like,
this is,
we're reflecting
this
on a guy's career.
A week before the trade deadline on a player that has been talked about and focused on.
Kipper, I love that player. I love that player.
Love that player.
I love that player.
I'm just saying.
I think he'd really be comfortable in the Niagara and Wellington King West area. Yeah. You know, just like,
I love the guy.
This guy says specifics.
I've got a big house. He could even live with me if you want.
He do hypothetically be here.
Just saying.
Yeah, he's probably talking more to tree living than he is about anyone else.
Anyways,
but this is my point about Polak, is that coaches always appeal to their GMs. Go get me guys I want. So, of course, Berube would love to have him.
Okay, so in that vein, would you like to hear what I had for a trade for Braden Schenn for the Toronto Maple Leafs?
Yes.
Okay, so let me know if this is crazy, because I'm going to say it. So all of these trades involve Max Domi, Kale Järnkrok, or David Kampf as part of it for contract filler. Okay. So just bear that in mind. But I'll start with Max Domi, Nick Robertson, Easton Cowan, and a second in 2026. Their third this year, which is Colorado's, for Braden Schenn at 2.25 retained.
Ooh, retained.
Yeah.
I love the retention on that. Now I'm into it.
Because you have to give up a lot for them to retain for 2 years after this.
So they're not even going to want Domi. That's just like the, you know, make the money work.
No, and the thing is, Domi has...
Three more years.
For sure.
So, like, there's not going to be many teams that are going to want to take on that term.
I, you know, unless St. Louis does think that he's a plus asset, someone who can contribute to them. But what you're offering them is Robertson, Cowan, and a couple of picks. Which is, you know, depends how you look at the Schenn deal and him aging out, I think very good.
Yeah.
You asked me, as a Leaf fan, do I want to do that? Mm-hmm. As a Leaf...
Who hangs up first? St. Louis?
The fact that I'm stuck means you've drawn up a good one.
Second in 2026.
Yeah.
And you use Easton Cowan as sort of the first round pick instead of actually giving up the first.
I think what people at home listening to this have to consider is, like,
it's going to be a lot to get him.
Well, and this is the year. It, you know, like we've said for years, all in, all in, all in. But it's like, Marner's not under contract next year.
Yeah.
Tavares is not under contract next year. You're not going to have this many. You got both goalies who are cheap. Nyes is, you know, cheap. You kind of have to take a shot. And it's not like there's this great player available out there for a seventh rounder. If you want to get good now, it's going to cost. Now, okay, go ahead.
No, you go ahead.
I also think it matters how you're valuing Easton Cowan and his season and where he's at in his progression.
Oh, you mean the guy who just scored a hat trick, including the overtime winner against the Oshawa Generals on Sunday?
If that
he's having a great year.
Okay.
No,
did that happen?
He did.
Amazing.
Yeah. He did.
I've heard some good, some bad.
Yes.
I've heard lots of good.
There's some.
Some bad.
Yeah.
I think it's very expensive for a guy, and I'll go back to what you said a while ago, that Schenn will be 34 by the time next season starts, if I'm not mistaken.
Oh, Jesus, is that right?
Yep.
34.
That's pretty relevant.
Okay. So
correct. 6'5 for three more years after this.
We're looking.
You're right.
Yeah.
No, you're wrong. It's three more after this.
It is?
Yeah.
Yes.
25, 26, 26, 27, 27, 28.
Okay. So.
I thought it was two.
Yeah, I know. It's a big difference. We are looking through it.
I rescind the trade.
A Leaf fan's eyes. Like, let's focus on what St. Louis sees here, okay? Number one is, how many teams are out there now bidding on Schenn? And I'm going to tell you.
Five.
Not five.
More.
Less.
Less. Oh.
Less.
Really?
He's not Lawton. He's not Scott
Lawton.
People
don't love that contract at his age.
Thank you. You got to be careful that you're not bidding against yourself here. Okay? And so force it back in Doug Armstrong's hands for a second. Okay? I'll give you maybe this and this, but I'm not giving you this, 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 and this. Because you always have the option of keeping him, but you're going to have a 34-year-old who isn't producing like a second-line centerman right now for 3 more years starting at age 34. Are you okay with that?
Mm-hmm.
Because you're passing the team on to a new general manager in Alex Steen.
Yep.
And I'm sure he would appreciate you getting this thing off the books for him.
You know, there are cases where teams have essentially said, we'll give you this guy, just take him off our cap sheet. Was that Pacioretty did that from maybe Vegas to Carolina? Where it's just like, you can have this guy, we just don't want to pay him anymore. Is Shen that?
I didn't know.
No.
I didn't know it was three after that. I thought it was two after this one. I've been screwing that up.
Because of what Kip's talking about, if you take Cowan out of that deal and say, we'll give you a second, a third, and Nick Robertson, you got a clean cap sheet, you know, are we getting closer now and you get to keep that prospect? I guess it depends what they're looking at.
And
because you have to consider the cost of that being on your cap sheet.
You like Shen for many reasons, and we just heard the raving review from Craig Berube.
I love the player.
But so does Craig Berube, but he really, really loved him.
At 31.
In 2019.
Yeah, at 28.
Are you remembering that player and thinking that's the player you're getting today?
In 2019, he had 54 points in 72 games. This year, he's got 12 goals in 62 games. Yeah. He's got 38 points.
I covered that Stanley Cup final with Elliot and Kelly Rudy on Hockey Night in Canada, and I remember him being a very good player. But I remember a Stanley Cup being driven by Ryan O'Reilly, Parayko, Pietrangelo, and Jordan Binnington.
Mm-hmm.
That was your heart and soul, and Shen was a great complimentary player behind Ryan O'Reilly.
Okay. So Leafs say no.
The main leader.
Well, the retention changes it.
Yeah.
You mentioned retaining what? What did you say? Two?
Two and a half.
That's, you know, now you get him at four.
Yeah.
Now I'm in.
Yeah.
But I will say, if you do this, you're not re-signing Tavares.
Yeah.
Redundant to me. Right? I mean, you're looking at a depth center, veteran guy making about four.
So, yes, you're right. And again, if you're...
Tavares has twice as many goals.
If you're thinking like you're bringing in Shen in and moving Tavares out, are you better off keeping Tavares, moving Shen out, and keeping the assets?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you are. You are. Okay. We just either
I'm just telling
that
you that,
hey, we're working through it. That's what this is a process.
We're working through it. And I like Shen because I think he's tougher than Tavares and he's probably a little bit more. They compete, but they compete in different ways, right?
Yeah.
And I think Shen would compete a little harder against a Florida Panther team than puck possession compete with Tavares against Florida.
Tavares wins pucks and faceoffs. Shen's going to fight Sam Bennett.
Can knock somebody over, right, maybe fight somebody. Yeah. But are you sure you're getting that?
Right.
Next one?
We just really took up a lot of your time. Sorry.
Yeah, that's okay. Yeah. That was kind of the point here. What do I got here?
Give us the guy that Kip and I both want.
Who is that?
Risto.
Okay. Kalle Yarncroc is part of this as some salary. David Kampf as well for salary. Easton Cowan, Chadwick, who was one of their captain in the WHL, one of the prospects, a first in 2026, a third in 2027 for
Lawton.
Are you
getting Lindros in his prime?
A lot for Lawton and Rasmus Ristolainen, 4.5 retained from 8.1 combined.
Lawton and Risto with retention?
Yeah.
No.
Okay. Who are you saying no? The Flyers?
No, the Leafs.
Okay.
It's just too much. It's just too much. Lawton is a 10-15 goal scorer.
There's eight teams bidding. Mm-hmm. Like, you're going to get him for cheap, and you add in a right shot defense, a D-man that's, you know, good player. I don't know.
It's a lot,
but these deadline deals are always a lot.
You're right.
Yeah.
The thing I really, you know, I mentioned Ristolainen. I think he's a good fit for the Leafs. He is, a lot of his like underlying stuff in his mid-20s have come around, and he's actually become, and I've always felt that really long D take a while to sort it out. Chara, Zadorov, they're you know, take some time. And now I like the player. $5.1 million is cheap. I think he has two more years after this. Mm-hmm. Got to think it retain a little. That would be like getting McCabe.
McCabe 2.0.
Yeah. And he's had a 40-point season.
I think in the past week and a half, there's been an awakening on that blue line with no Chris Tanev.
Yeah.
And I didn't like it last night, especially. Certainly haven't liked it in a week and a half without him there.
Yeah. You can't have two or three of Benoit, Timmins, Myers. It's too many hold-your-breath guys.
I think he'd be a very welcome addition.
Mm-hmm. What about this one to help the back end? Yarncroc, Benoit, and a third-rounder this year to San Jose for Mario Ferraro.
That kid competed real hard and looked like he wanted to be a Leaf last night.
Is that your take?
Do you like that trade?
I'm okay. Yeah, I didn't mind the kid. He's got a lot of spunk.
But like, I'm just basically taking out Simone Benoit and sticking him into those minutes and subtracting Cali Yarncroc's money and giving him a third round pick.
I think he might go for more than that. But yeah, I think I would do that.
Yep.
I would do that. Ferraro, I think is, you know, he's definitely better than the bottom end of what the Leafs have.
That's what I'm like getting at. Maybe even up into a second.
Yeah, he had some fire last night. I liked him.
Yeah, and I like that generally. Someone who's not afraid of a little bit of attention like that. The other guy from Chicago,
it's harder because they've already retained.
Yeah. Connor Murphy is the point I was going to make.
They've retained three, and you said that's the max you can have. They had their three retention slots.
Their three retention slots are all used, so they can't hold on to any more money.
I do like Donato and Murphy combination out of there somehow. Donato's in the UFA after this year. I think he makes $2 million.
I'd like him.
You like Donato?
Oh, yeah.
Really?
I do.
So he's not that big, is he?
No, but he's
competes.
Had a good year, and he competes, and he's got some nice hands, and I don't know.
Well, he only makes $2 million. He's 28, which I really like. UFA. 6'1", 190.
So, I mean, you could have...
What are you giving up?
22 goals, 45 assists.
I had a tough time with that one because of the retention situation where, you know, that's a lot of money. I think that's six. What is it I had here quickly? I think it was 6.4 coming on the books
for Murphy and Donato. You'd have to have another team retain money. You'd trade them to...
But I don't think that one would cost you as much as, like, getting... I don't know. Maybe it would.
What's Murphy make?
4.4 this year.
You just use the Marlies there. You don't really need to.
You think you could fit him in?
Yeah, I think you could fit him in.
He's purely defensive, but he's top 40 in hits, big body, you know, a straight
hand shot alongside Morgan Rielly, the type of guy that's worked with
Labushkin
him.
Labushkin plus, like a good Labushkin.
Yeah.
Beside Rielly, that'd work for me.
So, there you go. I mean, I have a bunch more, but we don't really have time.
Yeah. It is.
I had one for Brock Nelson.
Okay.
But I mean, they're going to have to retain a bit of money on him. He's owed six. You know, you could do a, you know, something with one of the top picks and one of the least top picks, like a Cowan or whatever. But
let me ask you something.
It is so hard to do what you're doing.
It's really hard.
It is so hard.
Is Lou going to help the Leafs?
No.
Well, hey, is Lou out of his mind? The Islanders stink.
They are.
I love you, Islanders. They need to move on.
Boy, do they ever.
They are no good. They're not good enough, and they're going to hang on to Palmieri and Nelson. They have to trade those guys. Have to.
They will. Leaf fans will be so mad. They love the prospects so much. I just traded them all away. Oh, you can't get rid of them.
No.
If
either Kip or I were making up trades, those would be the same names going the other way. It's the only way to get assets.
Don't trade the guy that's going to contribute in 2031.
All right, we're just warming up here as we welcome back Justin Bourne. We go national next with Steve Valiquette. We'll continue these conversations. Also talk on the big goalie trade that saw Spencer Knight go to Chicago and get his first win. That is next with Steve Valiquette. Don't go away.